Welcome back to the Animal House. I'm Sam Litzinger.
There's a tiny Japanese island with a troubling past that's undergone a remarkable transformation thanks to a furry creature with big ears. Nina Porzuki of PRI's The World tells us more.
Looking for a honeymoon spot? What about the tiny island of Okinojima?
It's absolutely beautiful.
That's Professor Ellis Krauss. He directs the University of California Exchange Program in Japan. And he takes his students to visit this pretty little island, also known as Rabbit or Bunny Island.
You can't avoid the bunnies. They're everywhere.
Hundreds of them live on the island, which is less than half a square mile large. The island, part of a national park, is also hopping with tourists. There's a golf course, playgrounds, tennis courts, hiking trails, and yes, a honeymoon hotel. Which is strange, says Krauss, because this warm and fuzzy little island actually has a pretty chilling past.
I mean, this would be a little bit like creating a honeymoon hotel in Los Alamos or Alamogordo, New Mexico, where the atom bomb was developed.
For nearly 20 years, from 1929 until the end of World War II, Bunny Island was the center of chemical weapons research and production in Japan.
It was a super secret island. In fact, trains passing on the mainland had to lower their shades so that passengers couldn't even see the island during the war. And everybody on the island who worked in the chemical weapons productions were sworn to secrecy.
Over 6,000 tons of poison gas were produced on the island. And the test subjects for the chemicals, according to Krauss, yes, I'm sorry to say, were the bunnies. But the bunnies currently living on the island are not descendants of the bunnies tested. The original bunnies were euthanized in 1945 when the Americans occupied Japan and took over Okinojima Island. The Americans also sunk half of the amassed weapons into the sea. As for the other half of the weapons manufactured on the island,
about 3,000 tons were shipped to China and actually used in China in Japan's invasion of China after 1937. I believe about 80,000 Chinese were killed by these chemical weapons. And in the little museum on the island, there are actually pictures of Japanese soldiers with gas masks in China using the chemical weapons.
Today, as you hike around the tiny island, it's hard not to bump into the remnants of its past. A dilapidated lab building, crumbled bunkers used to store weapons, and then, of course, the hordes upon hordes of bunnies.
Well, that's no ordinary rabbit. Oh. That's the most foul, cruel, and bad-tempered rodent you ever set eyes on. That rabbit's got a vicious streak a mile wide. It's a killer.
Okay, there are no killer rabbits. But from the endless online videos of tourists feeding them, the rabbits do look unnaturally large and aggressive.
This one is a greedy one. You are greedy.
One final note on Bunny Island. It's located just an hour and a half from another horrific World War II landmark, Hiroshima.
It's just the existence of this island with its past so close to Hiroshima really represents the two sides of the Pacific War.
For The World, I'm Nina Porzuki.
Your Dog's Friend is a not-for-profit organization based out of Rockville, Maryland, dedicated to keeping dogs out of shelters by educating and supporting their humans. Animal House producer Natalie Yurov-Livker visited their free monthly adopters workshop to learn about the resources available to potential adopters and new pet companions.
This is one of the most important things. I want you to be really an expert at when your dog is just slightly stressed, because that you need to know and react to the situation and make your dog more comfortable.
That's certified professional dog trainer Jenny Grant. She created the monthly adopters workshop offered free of charge at Your Dog's Friend. Today, Jenny is presenting to a class of about 40 people. As is typical, it's a mix of recent adopters, longtime dog parents, and potential adopters. Jenny covers various topics, including the introduction of a rescue dog into a new home, dog body language, and the benefits of positive training. Your Dog's Friend is adamantly opposed to punishment as a training tool. And for a new dog, it can be especially scary.
It's a little bit like if you were in a foreign country and you didn't know the rules, you didn't know the language, All you knew is that if you did something wrong, you'd be punished.
That's Deborah Ekman, the founder of Your Dog's Friend. When she was a volunteer at two shelters and a rescue, she saw firsthand the effects of a lack of education.
And certain things became obvious to me. One was that people chose the wrong dog for their lifestyle and then had all sorts of problems. Another was that when people adopted a dog, there was nowhere for them to go with their questions, their concerns. The third was that I saw people giving dogs back for reasons that could have either been prevented or that still could be remedied.
These issues, among others, led Deborah to create a new training model focused on educating the human to understand the dog. In addition to the monthly adopters workshop, Your Dog's Friend offers free lectures and various training classes. And yet another service offered by the organization is the Foster Dog Alliance, run by Sarah Stoikos.
It's basically a membership organization where someone who fosters for a rescue or shelter can join. They are then entitled to up to 3 classes a week, having constant email or phone consultations when they need them between classes. And then we also provide a website that kind of helps them sort through what's out there and what's good, steer them away from the things that aren't so good.
Kate Dresser, a longtime dog and foster parent, has participated in the Foster Dog Alliance since the beginning, over a year and a half ago. All 3 dogs that she brought into the program have been successfully adopted.
It's a really supportive and helpful to work through issues that dogs might have.
Kate is also a regular fixture at the workshops. She continues to attend the adopters workshop to learn new skills and for what she calls personal enrichment. And how has attending the workshops helped her with her own 4 dogs?
It's made them much happier. It's really strengthened our relationship because they trust me a lot more now than they did before.
Luckily for those dog parents and potential dog parents who can't come to the workshops in person, there are many useful tools available on the website. Here again is founder Deborah Ekman.
I mean, one of my favorite handouts that's on the website is 10 Tips for Humans because it's a summary of everything that I saw people not understanding.
Back at the Adopters Workshop, trainer Jenny Grant concludes by showing some of her favorite toys.
Giving your dogs several activity toys helps them use their brain in a good way, helps fulfill them. In zoos, they do a lot of this kind of stuff, food seeking, having to work for food, having things to play with, tear apart, and a lot of the behavior issues go away.
After the class, a few participants approach her with additional individual concerns as others gather their things.
Mine's a 75-pound lab rescue.
Uh-huh.
And so the exercise pen, they're open on the top. You just say that they're ones that...
Yeah, they have tops. The internet has everything.
Easily jump.
Yeah, and they do come in different heights. I got it pretty high for Charlie because Charlie's a collie.
Clutching the handout and the complimentary book about shelter and rescue dogs, the participants slowly make their exits, now confidently prepared to start or rekindle a healthy, trusting relationship with their canine companions. For The Animal House, I'm Natalie Irv-Lifker.
Is your dog right-tailed or left-tailed? I'm Sandra Tsinglow with the lowdown on science, saying it depends on who he's wagging it at. Brain asymmetry affects animal behavior, just like in humans. Researchers from 2 Italian universities studied dogs and their wagging tails. Turns out, when approached by someone familiar, like their owner, dogs consistently wagged their tails to their right. When they saw an unfamiliar dog, tails wagged left. The researchers concluded that tail direction indicates activity in the opposite brain hemisphere. Left brain, right wag, everything's cool. Right brain, left wag, look out, Timmy, danger. But do dogs also recognize these signals when they see them? To find out, the researchers showed 43 dogs of different breeds a video. When they saw a tail wagging right, dogs were relaxed. When the tail wagged left, pups got anxious, hearts raced. No wagging, dogs were anxious, but not as much. The researchers say this shows that dogs rely on social cues, like tail action, to assess a strange dog's state of mind or a possible threat. When you don't have time to sniff a behind. Although, that helps too.
The Lowdown on Science is produced by LDOS Media Lab in partnership with the University of California, Irvine and 89.3 KPCC and made possible by the generous support of the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. On the web at lohdownonscience.org.
Dr. Gary Weitzman answers your questions about pets and wildlife next in The Animal House.